Grab your Bibles, go to Psalm 119, Lucas and Wright, I need y'all's help, if you would. I got something to hand out to y'all, maybe to make sense here in just a minute, and these fellers will hand those out, and you can feel free, I'll reference this here in just a little while, take me just a bit to get there, but feel free to write on it. And take notes this evening if you'd like. And if you don't appreciate it and don't want to write nothing down, then take it home, throw it away. It'll be just fine, all right? Psalm 119, we've been looking at this for several weeks and just looking, I guess, at some seed thoughts and introductory thoughts to this rather large, in fact, the largest section, largest chapter, we'd call it, certainly the largest psalm in the Word of God. And we've dealt with several issues just trying to introduce some thoughts to us about Psalm 119 and what a psalm that it is. And I have surely enjoyed studying it and looking at it with you and alongside of you. All right? And trust the Lord to help us this evening. I want to take the time tonight. And this should be our last introductory thought, and then we're going to start getting into this psalm just verse by verse, eight sections at a time. And but this evening, I want to read it in its entirety. We've not done that yet, and it is long, and I'll try to read it with enough enthusiasm that you don't doze off and go to sleep, but that we would take time just to read it. I would encourage you, while we read it here over the next, it'll take me about 12 minutes to read all 176 verses, but I would encourage you to get a highlighter or a pen out, and if something stands out to you, make a notation of that, and then go home tonight and ponder those things in your heart, maybe as the Lord would just speak to you. Y'all remember in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, and that revival broke out in Nehemiah's day, and they called for the word of the Lord to be brought out. And Ezra, and he had, I can't remember the amount of men, but he had a certain amount of Levites on his right hand, certain amount of Levites on his left hand. And in the book of Nehemiah, the Bible said they brought out a pulpit of wood. And all day long, Brother Tim Ezra did nothing but just read the Word of God. He never gave them a three-point outline. He didn't have some fancy message. He just read them the Word of God. And the longer he read, the more under conviction they fell. And revival broke out that day. And they, amen, wept and cried and got right with God and repented. And it got so real, the Levites had to come and say, listen, you've wept and cried about your sin long enough. It's the joy of the Lord that'll be your strength. And all of that, my point is, all that was predicated on just a reading, a rendition of the Word of God among the people. And I hope maybe the Word of the Lord will speak to you even as we read it tonight. I do have a lot of things I want to reference after we do, but let's embark on this together. All right, y'all ready? Follow along and try not to let your mind wander. And you can, I don't care if you want to read it out loud as we do, or read it in your heart and in your mind as we do tonight. Psalm 119, verse number 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not inclined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud forge to lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than 10,000s of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes fell for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimonies of thy mouth. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man. So will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let my cry come near before thee. O Lord, give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. And sadly, this psalm ends, verse 176, I have gone astray like a sheep, like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. And I know that's a lot of reading tonight, and I did it in 16 minutes, all right? And so that's pretty good reading. Maybe more. I don't mean to be a jerk. Maybe more than you've read all day, or maybe hopefully not all week. Amen, this week. As we read that and read that tonight in its entirety, it stands out the point that we've been making over the last several weeks, that this psalm is about the Word of God. It is about God's Word. This is what William Heslip said, and I come across this quote doing some further study. And William Heslip, in his book and thoughts on seeds of the Psalms, when he came to Psalm 119, he said the 119th Psalm is a symphony of praise to God for His holy word is revealed in the Holy Bible. It extols the beauty and blessedness, the excellence and efficiency, the fullness and finish, the glory and grandeur, the loveliness and lastingness, the majesty and magnificence, the perfection and purity, the sublimity and sacredness, the tenderness and trueness, the vigor and the vastness, the wonders and the wisdom of the Word of God. And so Psalm 119 is no doubt inspired of the Holy Spirit of God upon the heart of the psalmist. But it is the psalmist expressing from his heart in that inspiration what the Word of God truly means to him. And there's a lot of things in the psalms different psalmists will write concerning what stirs their heart to praise the Lord and to worship the Lord. But in Psalm 119, it is very clearly identified, Brother Lucas, that it is praise to God for His wonderful Word. And we use verse number 129, we believe. And you could pick, I guess, dozens of these verses, as many as of them as there are, to be a theme verse for Psalm 119. But to me, verse 129 stands out, where the psalmist said, "Thy testimonies are wonderful." And that is the theme, Brother Jack, of everything the psalmist is saying in 176 verses. Is that the Word of God is wonderful to his soul. It is something miraculous and something marvelous, and he has his eye pinned upon it very, very closely. And so last week we was dealing with various thoughts or seed thoughts from Psalm 119. And just some things that stand out to us. We just quickly tonight, I'm not going over all of this again, but we dealt with the author of Psalm 119. And we dealt with the fact we believe that it's David. And what stands out to us, whoever you believe that it was, but there are 325 self-references in Psalm 119. And so over and over he talks about I, me, my, mine, and myself. But in doing so, it's not a brag. It's not a braggadocious way of elevating himself. For in the psalm, he calls himself, to speaking to God, that he says, "I am thy servant." And so he has a humble mind, but he's explaining his own relationship to the Word of God. And be it David that is the author, a man after God's own heart, it's no wonder that he could go on and on and on and on about his relationship to God's Word, 176 verses, because a man or woman after God's own heart has a heart for what God has said in His Word. And so tonight, if we made the challenge last week, made us think about it, that if we was to have to sit down and write about our relationship, the Word of God, and what it meant to us, I wonder how many blank pages we would turn into the Lord. Or would we have something to say? Would we have something to describe about what the Word of God has meant to us in our Christian life? And so we looked at the author of this psalm. The author of this psalm, he begins talking about the blessing of walking in the law of God, but he ends the psalm talking about his own life is gone astray like a lost sheep. Throughout the psalm, he'll describe a dedication that he has that he has not been unfaithful to the law of God. He has not declined from it. He has not forgotten it. And yet in the end of the psalm, there's a part of his life, he said, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. And that represents our flesh life. That represents the fleshly nature of man. And is not interested in God's Word. Thank God if you're saved, there's a spiritual man on the inside that knows the blessing of walking in the law of God. And the spiritual man does know iniquity. And the spiritual man does not decline from the law of God. And so in this psalm, we find the dual nature of every child of God. Amen. On one hand, we do that is right. And on another hand, we do that is wrong. And on one hand, we're faithful to God and His Word. And on another hand, amen, there are days when we're not. And if you come to me and say, no, that ain't me, I'm going to look at you eyeball to eyeball and call you a big fat liar. Amen. We all struggle. We all struggle with, amen, living our life to the standard of the Word of God. But thank God the failures and the astray times that David expresses in Psalm 119, they are not the norm. The norm is victory. The norm is I'm walking in the way of God. It is the exception, not the rule, that he's going astray. Amen. Amen. I said I wasn't going to preach it all again. Amen. But this book, if you're saved, loving this book and a relationship with this book, amen, it'll keep you living for God more days than you fail. Amen. Failure day after day, after week, after month, after year, and the same old sin. Amen. That is, number one, not a trait and a characteristic of one of God's children. And it sure ain't a characteristic of one of God's children loving and looking to and living out the Word of God in their life. And so we looked at several other things about the author of Psalm 119. And then we looked briefly and ended last week on the arithmetic of Psalm 119. And there we just simply looked at the fact that in this psalm we have 22 sections of 8 verses each. And that is something that stands out. It's how David wrote this psalm under inspiration of the Spirit of God. And we'll break down and get into some things tonight as far as how that was done or why that was done. But just the math of this psalm, the number 8 standing out, even in the 8 verse sections there are, each verse having 2 sections. And so you have 8 times 2 is 16. It's just 8 stands out all through the psalm. And so we talked about last week, 8 is the number of making fat or making superabounding. 7 is the number of fullness, satisfaction, completeness, and it is the number of enough. But 7 is enough, but 8 is more than enough. And so we talked about the fact that the Word of God, we find here in the arithmetic of Psalm 119, the Word of God here in this psalm speaks of the faithful sufficiency of Scripture. And the Word of God will be more than enough to get you through. The Word of God will be more than enough to feed your hungry soul. The Word of God will be more than enough to help you in your battles. The Word of God will be more than enough and send you the help and the support and the backup that you need for whatever you're facing in your life. And the psalmist describes over and over in this psalm about affliction and persecutors and tears and affliction sins and all these midnights going on in his life. But thank God, the Word of God, the Scriptures are faithfully sufficient. They are more than enough for you and for me. The number 8 speaks of the fresh start and is in the Scriptures. And the number 8 is that number of new beginnings. And we dealt with that on last week in the Word of God. If you need a fresh start, if you have gone astray, if you have messed up, if you have been knocked down, if you have fallen, thank God the Word of God can put you on, amen, a fresh start, a new path. It can cause you to recover, and you and I can have a new beginning, but it'll only come through the Word of God. It won't come through a program. It won't come through sitting in a circle telling about all your bumps and bruises and ailments and blunders you've had in life. And if you'll get in the Word of God will breathe a fresh start in you and I, and we can have a new beginning. Now tonight, quick, I've got to move. Amen. I could be here till midnight, but I'm not going to be. Amen. I want you to note here these various seed thoughts from Psalm 119. We see the author and the arithmetic, but notice the alphabet that is magnified in Psalm 119. Now, most of you tonight, if you should, amen, have an old King James 16:11. You'll notice that in these 8 verse sections, there are the names of the Hebrew alphabet that head each and every section. Now, if you don't have that in there, it's not really any big deal, but understand this. The reason that is in there, Psalm 119 is a acrostic of the Hebrew alphabet. And as such, each of the 8 verses in every section, they began, if you could read it in Hebrew, nobody in here can, and that's fine. And let me just add this in passing. You don't have to read and have to understand Hebrew to understand the Word of God. Amen. That's a good place to say amen, because if we did, we'd all be in a mess. And so you don't have to understand it. It would be maybe something good if you wanted to learn and pick up a hobby, how to learn Hebrew and read it. And it's a wonderful poetic language, as I hope I can communicate tonight. But in Psalm 119, for instance, the first 8 verses have above it the heading Aleph. And Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Every verse in the Hebrew begins with that Hebrew letter. And so on and so forth through each and every section. And so this evening, think about the Hebrew alphabet and these Hebrew letters this evening. We think about the alphabet, that letters themselves are used to form words. Words form sentences, and words and sentences form thoughts by which communication is experienced. And so when we think about the Hebrew alphabet, our Bible, especially the Old Testament, having come from the Hebrew language, we understand tonight it is God communicating His Word, His truth, what He wants mankind to know, and He does that through the forming of letters into words, words into thoughts and sentences, and thus He is communicating to mankind. Ancient Jewish sages believed the Hebrew alphabet was the building blocks of life, making these 22 letters what life was all about. If you meet a practice, not just Jew by lineage, but a religious Jew, what you'll find is they place great, great emphasis upon these Hebrew letters. In fact, the Hebrew language itself in its form, they reference it as being a geometric metaphor or full of geometric metaphors, which just simply means that they paint pictures. And we'll see that in just a moment tonight. And we think about this evening. It's believed that the Hebrew alphabet is the oldest alphabet among human history. It was the first actually compiling into a language, an alphabet by which to communicate. In fact, many of the Jewish rabbis in many of their old writings say that it was God that instituted or spoke in Hebrew and delivered that even to Adam. Now, you won't find that in the Bible. That's just Jewish tradition. And Adam passed it on to his sons. What we do know is that going all the way back into Egypt in the days of Israel's bondage there in Egypt, and there have been excavations that have been made that have uncovered the origins, or what they believe to be the origins, of the first Hebrew alphabet. They're not Egyptian. They are something completely different from the Egyptian hieroglyphics. And they would write on the walls. There was an actual alphabet and language by which they were writing things down and communicating through letters. And so I think about the Hebrew alphabet, these letters that form words, that even God has used to form words. And the Hebrew alphabet itself is a wonderful picture of the Word of God being God's language, God's communication to mankind. We think about it in the sense that it is ancient language. The Hebrew alphabet is ancient language. Whether it goes all the way back to Adam or not, it's still an ancient and believed to be the oldest language that is known among human history. Can I tell you tonight, God's Word is an ancient book. This thing didn't just come out last week. It wasn't 10 years ago. It ain't decades or even centuries old. But the Bible said, in fact, we read it out of Psalm 119, "Our word is forever settled in heaven, O Lord." Amen. And so it is an eternal book. It is an everlasting book. It is God's everlasting language of communication to mankind. I think about the Hebrew letters and alphabet as a picture in itself of the Word of God. The Hebrew alphabet is holy language. It is used as a holy language. In fact, of all the alphabets that have ever been, of all the languages that have ever been spoke, there is none more holy than that of the Hebrew language. May I say tonight, when it comes to the Word of God, there is no more holy book in all the Word of God. David testified, as we read the 176 verses of this psalm tonight, how many times did he say, "Your words are pure, they're very pure, they are right." And what he's communicating is, God's Word is a holy book. And I tell you tonight, I'm glad we don't have something, amen, that was passed down just through, amen, Dr. Bottlestopper. Brother Bryant would say, amen, this ain't the work of a professor in a classroom. This is not the writings of a politician or a statesman tonight. When we think about the Word of God, we're talking about something that has come from the holy realm of heaven itself. And the Bible is a holy book. I think about this, the Hebrew language. It is a powerful language. And in the English language, we think about it. Now, if you go back in the English language, even back to Elizabethan language and the Elizabethan English from which the 1611 was translated in, it's a very poetic language. But if you know anything about Hebrew tonight, and again, you don't have to know it, you may want to go do some study on what I'm saying. It's one of the most poetic and soul-stirring languages that have ever been. And tonight I think about how that it moves. Just if you'll pull up, and you won't be able to understand any of it, but just listen to somebody read a Hebrew Bible. It's very soul-stirring and very powerful. Can I say tonight, the Bible itself is a powerful book. Amen. Nothing moves men. Again, we reference Ezra and the revival in the days of Nehemiah. Just the reading of God's Word stirred the heart of an entire generation. And it's the power of the Word of God that moved us when we were lost and in sin. and needed to be convicted and brought to a Savior. It was the power of the Word of God that moved us and stirred us. And I thank God that it is a powerful book. And so the Hebrew alphabet itself is something that I think is a picture of the Word of God. And let me give you three things about the Hebrew alphabet, why or what we can learn from these headings in Psalm 119, the headings themselves. Number one tonight, consider with me in the alphabet the emblems of God's Word. These letters, as are contained in the headings here, I don't know if you have them in your Bible. My Bible actually does. It not only has the name, but to the left of the name, it actually has the Hebrew symbol or the Hebrew letter for that letter's name beside it. And these are not random or coincidental in form, but if you'll study what the Jews and Hebrews say, that these letters are shaped to tell a story and represent an archetypal energy in which they are more than sounds, but are named with a purpose of conveying and communicating a certain truth. And some of them are multiple, and several of them, maybe there are some variances and maybe disagreements on, but I want to work my way through all 22 of them real quickly tonight. And has everybody got one of these pages here with these listed? Anybody not get one? You want one real quick? Amen. Riley, if you'll run these around, you got a baby. Amen. I can do it myself. Amen. Anybody need one? Amen. You'll want to see this. Amen. They're pointing at you too, Brother Tim. Amen. These letters are amazing. Anybody else? Y'all got them? You got them? Everybody got one? All right. Look with me here and let me show you. Now, I've wrote them down or typed them out rather for you so you can have them. You can write on here, amen, while we're going through. Notice with me, number one, Aleph. Aleph or Aleph. And I'll get these pronounced wrong. Sometimes we have some of these Hebrew roots people from the county. They like to watch, and then they send me dirty letters and messages on Facebook. And so just mark her down. I'm going to say them wrong. I can't speak English right, much less Hebrew. But, amen, I do want to make a point tonight. Aleph, the first eight verses, means ox. Now, what we're going to look at tonight as we go through this is that each of these meanings, I want to draw out an emblem of the Word of God, an emblem of the Word of God. And so if Aleph means ox, the Word of God is like an ox. What is an ox? An ox is an animal that speaks of strength. In fact, the way that the Lord gave it to me, an ox is a pulling and a plowing animal. And so here's what I wrote down. The Word of God, it will pull you through. The Word of God will pull you through. Ain't you thankful the Word of God can pull you through the hard times, because it's an ox, and if you'll hitch your life to the Word of God, the Word of God will pull you through. Beth, the second section, means house. It means a house. A house is something you live in. A house is a haven from the world. It is a place of refuge. And I wrote it down this evening this way. As a house, the Word of God is a house. The Word of God will be your place of rest. Do you need rest tonight? Do you need a place that you can escape all the impurities and difficulties that are found in the world? May I say tonight, find your rest in the Word of God. Gamal, the third section, literally means a camel. And so we'll say tonight, the Word of God, I know maybe in our mind we'd think, man, that's strange. The Word of God is like a camel. when you think about a camel, what is a camel? A camel is a wilderness beast. It is an animal that can make it through the dry times and make it through the wilderness. And I think about the camel is something that you can ride on. Amen. Rather than you having to wear yourself out and kill yourself walking upon the hot sands of the desert, you can ride the camel and the camel will get you through. And so tonight the Word of God is like a camel. The Word of God will get you through the wilderness. Ain't you thankful for that tonight? The Word of God can get you through the wilderness. Number four, Daleth. It means door. It means a door. A door is a place of entrance or a place of access. It speaks of a way. I think tonight of the Word of God being a door. The Word of God will give you access to God and His blessings. Do you want to know God? Do you want access to God? Do you want access to the blessings that come from God? And my friend, it'll be the Word of God that'll be the door to all your relationship with God and the blessings that follow. Number five, hey is how you pronounce the letters H-E in our English. In our English pronunciation means a window. And a window is what you're able to look in and out of. A window is where the light gains entrance inside. And so I wrote it down this way. The Word of God will let you see the light. Ain't you thankful for the light that shines? Amen. If you need light tonight, you can find it in the Word of God. What did David say in Psalm 119:105? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Number six, V-A-U-V-A. It means literally a nail or a hook. A nail or a hook. And as a nail, thank God the Word of God will nail down some things in your life. A nail not only nails it down, but it holds it together. Amen. Can I tell you what holds your life together? It'll be the Word of God. It won't be the New Age philosophies of our day, but it'll be the Word of God. You think about this Hebrew letter name meaning a hook. A hook is what connects you to something else. And so tonight, it'll be the Word of God. Amen. That keeps your life together, keeps your life connected, and nails some things down. The seventh letter is Zayin. It literally means a weapon, especially a sword. And that's typified in the New Testament very clearly that the Word of God and the believer's armor that we're to have and put on, the sword of the Spirit, Paul said, which is the Word of God. He'd say in Hebrews that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so it is a weapon tonight. The Word of God is a weapon for war. And so the Word of God will give you victory in the battle. Learn to use the Word of God to be your weapon, to be your sword, to be the implement by which you overcome the enemy when he comes against you. Letter number eight, Jeff. It means fence of enclosure, literally for protection. A fence that has been raised. And so the Word of God, listen now. The Word of God will mark the boundaries and protect your life. A Word of God will mark where the hedge is. A Word of God will mark the boundaries. And if you'll live in the Word of God, if you'll live in the fence of the Word of God, thank God, you'll find the Word of God will protect your life. Number nine, Tith. It means serpent. And that is an interesting emblem to think about the Word of God being. But I thought immediately, Brother Tim, about what Jesus said to his disciples. We think about the serpent, something to stay away from. We think of the serpent as Satan came to man in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. And all of that is so. But here's what Jesus told his disciples. He said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And so a serpent can speak of something that is very wise, something that is stealthy, amen, something that if you're not careful will sneak up on you. And so I thought about this tonight. The Word of God will make us wise. The Word of God will make us wise. Wisdom will not be found out in the world. Wisdom will not be found in the latest philosophies and ideas and opinions of men. True wisdom is found, and we can be made wise in the Word of God. Number 10, Yod. It means hand. And this is an interesting emblem of the Word of God. Hand. The Word of God is like a hand. What is a hand? A hand is something that you feel with. A hand is something that you touch with. A hand is something that you can point and give direction with. And I thought about the Word of God as a hand. It will touch your soul and point you in the right direction. It'll point you in the right direction. Oh, how many times has the Word of God touched your soul? Just when you needed a touch. Just when you needed to feel, amen, something in your soul, something spiritual, something to help you, and the Word of God as a hand touched your life and pointed you in the right direction. Number 11, Kaf. It means wing. A wing, as a wing maybe of a bird, no doubt literally of a bird. A wing is a attachment or appendage for flight. A wing is what enables the bird to leave a earthly, temporal dwelling and to soar into the heavens. The Word of God is like a wing. And so the Word of God, what does it do? It lifts us up from the world. It lifts us up from this plane. And the Word of God lets us, my friend, have a heavenly trajectory. Ain't you thankful for that? Lamed, number 12. Lamed, the 12th Hebrew letter name, Lamed, means ox goad or prick. And so this speaks of the implement of the farmer when he needs to goad or prick the ox in a certain direction. And so the Word of God is like an ox goad. It's like a prick. It's like a cattle prod, we would say in our vernacular. The Word of God will provoke your life in the path that God would have you to go. Amen. The Word of God, it'll stick you. How many of y'all's ever been stuck? Amen. You picked it up, you read it, and it stuck you. And you was, my friend, heading in a wrong direction. And you heard it preached, and it poked you. Amen. This is what the Lord said to Saul of Tarsus when he got him hemmed up under conviction. He said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Amen. What was goading him? What was pricking him? I tell you exactly what it was. It was that godly child of God, Stephen, who had just preached the Word of God, and Saul heard it and he couldn't get away from it, and his life was being goaded and pricked and prodded, amen, because of the truth of the Word of God. Amen. I'm trying not to preach tonight. I feel like preaching right there. Thank God for the Word of God being a goad, being a prod, being a prick in our life, provoking us, amen, in the path that God would have us to go. Number 13, mem means water. And this is an obvious symbol of the Word of God found throughout all the Word of God. We are told in the New Testament that we're washed by the washing of the Word of God. And so water, the Word of God, will be the cleansing source when we become dirty, and will be your refreshment when you're thirsty. It'll clean you when you're dirty, amen, and it'll satisfy you and sustain you and refresh you, amen, when you've been dry and parched. Ain't you thankful for the days you've got a drink from the Word of God? Amen. Interestingly, number 4, none, means fish. Amen. Fish follows the water. And I thought about that. I thought about that as a fish, amen. As a fish, what is fish? Fish is food, amen. Fish is meat. It's amazing how many times we read about Jesus eating fish in his life. Amen. He fed the multitudes with what? With fish and loaves. Amen. After his resurrection and the disciples, Peter said, I go fishing, and it was others that went with him, and they fished all night and didn't catch nothing. And then Jesus is on the shore, calls out to them. And when the disciples come to where he is, the Bible said he was there with a fire and with fish, and he gave them to eat. And I think about the Word of God being fish. Amen. The Word of God will be your spiritual meat to feed your soul. Amen. And so after you've got a drink of water, amen, thank God the Word of God will feed you. Amen. It'll be your meat. It'll be what feeds your soul. Samech, number 15, verses 113 through 120 means prop for support, or a prop for help. The Word of God. I got to hurry. The Word of God will keep you standing in your weakest hour. Ain't you thankful for the Word of God propping you up? Ain, number 16, means act. The Word of God will examine your life. Have you ever picked that book up and you found it staring back at you? Amen. Am I the only one has ever experienced that? That book has eyes, my friend. That Word of God sees you as you are. Amen. You may hide what you are from the preacher, hide what you are from your spouse, hide what you are from your parents or from your children or from your best buds. But you can't hide what you are from this book. Amen. It's got eyes. It's an eye to examine our life. Number 17, pay, means mouth. And may I say tonight, the Word of God will speak into your life. This is not a dead book. This is not just words on a page, black words on a white page. Oh no, this is a living book. Amen. They come out many years ago with a Bible translation called the Living Bible or Living Translation. Amen. They missed it. They missed it by thousands of years. Amen. It's always been living. It's always been living. It is a book that is alive, and it is, as it were, the mouth of God speaking in their life. Zadi, number 18, means righteous, or literally surrender. May I say tonight, the Word of God will make you what you can't be of yourself. Of yourself, there is none righteous, no, not one. Of ourselves, there's none good, no, not one. All we like sheep are going astray. And it's through the Word of God, it's through the Word of God that a man can become what he is not naturally, and that is a life lived in righteousness. You can be righteous tonight, not of yourself. Amen. We know through the power of Christ, through the power of the Holy Ghost, and all of that is going to be worked out through the Word of God being your righteousness. Amen. You've got to surrender to it, and the Word of God teaches us how to do that. Cough, verse number 19, means axe head. I love this, and I wish I had time to preach on this one. The Word of God is like an axe head. It's like an axe. What is an axe? It is a chopping tool. It is a cutting tool. It is a tool that is used for removal. I think about the Word of God as an axe head. It will cut some things down and cut some things out of your life. That's what the Word of God will do. Has the Word of God ever done that? Amen. What has God cut down and cut out of your life? Amen. I promise you it'll be through the power of the Word of God that's done. Number 20, rest. I know this is a lot of information. Amen. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. The Word of God is like a head. Amen. Like a head. The Word of God will teach you how to think. The head is where you think. The head speaks of leadership. And so the Word of God will teach you how to think. and the Word of God will lead your life. Let the Word of God lead your life. Let the Word of God tell you how to think about things. Amen. Somebody said, well, I just don't think this or I don't think that. Amen. And I'm not expressing we need ignorant saved people. God knows we got enough of those. Amen. But learn as a child of God how to think like the Word of God tells you how to think. Amen. Shin, verses 161 through 168, letter 21. Shin means tooth. And this one stumped me a little bit. And yet I thought about the tooth. The tooth is one of the most enduring parts of your body. The teeth are, with their enamel, if they're healthy, they're one of the strongest parts of your body. And the Word of God is strong tonight. And the tooth is something that it breaks down the initial ingestion of food. It's the teeth that at chew. It's the teeth that breaks that down, whatever it is. And it's the first part of what the digestive process is in taking in the meal that you ate this afternoon. And so the Word of God is like a tooth. The Word of God will break down truth and digest it into your life. Thank God tonight, the Word of God, it'll give it to you. Whatever level you're on spiritually, the Word of God will break it down just for where you are. Amen. That's good. Amen. Tav, the last one. Somebody said, amen, we're finally done. I'm not done. I got a lot more, but we'll see what we do with it, all right? It literally means mark or a marker or a cross. Amen. And or crossroads, we may would say. And so I thought about the Word of God as a marker. The Word of God will bring you to markers in your life and bring you to crossroads of decision in your life. Can I tell you tonight about the Word of God? There's no neutral ground in that book. There's no middle ground in that book. What I love about the Bible, it presents what God has to say, and it presents truth to you where you are, and it literally is the crossroads of whether or not you're going to go your own way or you're going to go God's way. Amen. Amen. And so this idea of, well, I can remain neutral about what this book said, you cannot. Amen. If you don't go with this book, then you have made a choice to go against this book. Amen. No neutral ground. Amen. It is the marker. Amen. It erased some markers and memorials in your life and crossroads where, amen, your life needs to go. Can I finish this? Will y'all hang with me just a minute tonight? Amen. And I'm trying to find my notes. Amen. This is the emblems of God's Word. Aleph to Tav, amen, each of these letters paint an emblem of what God's Word is. In the Hebrew alphabet of Psalm 119, I not only see the emblems of God's Word, but I see the emphasis of God's Word. Not only are these letters pictures of the written Word, but also of Jesus, the living Word, and His redemptive work. I need 20 minutes to preach this. I ain't going to take it. But do you remember what was said in the New Testament? Jesus said it of Himself. He said, I am the Alpha. This is Greek now. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the alphabet. I'm the Greek alphabet, the Alpha and the Omega. Can I say Jesus is the alphabet? Amen. From the beginning of it to the end of it and everything in between, He is the communication of God. He is, John the Beloved said in John 1, amen, that He is the Word that was in the beginning. He was the Word that was God. He was the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. And you can't have a Word without having letters. And Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega. He is the Aleph and the Tav. Amen. He is the A and the Z. Amen. And in any other alphabet of every other language, He is the first letter and the last letter. He is God's communication of His redemptive plan to man. Hallelujah. Amen. And in Psalm 119, we can go through each of these letters again and show you Christ in 22 emblems. He is every one of these things as the living Word of God. But can I give you just two of them? I'll give you the first and the last and make a connection. Aleph means ox, right? You know what an ox is? Under the old law, it is the animal of sacrifice, the bullock, amen, the ox, offered as an atonement of the sins of the people. The last letter is Tav. What did it mean? It meant cross, amen, a sacrifice and a cross. Can I say tonight? That is the emphasis. We see the emblems, but the emphasis of God's Word. Can I tell you tonight, amen, it is an emphasis of Christ's redemptive sacrifice at Calvary. Amen. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about what God planned, what Jesus did. And the Word of God preaches it on every page. And Christ paid it all, what man could not pay, what man could not do, to rescue himself and save himself. The emphasis of the Word of God is that the Lord has provided a sacrifice for mankind. Amen. Amen. This book may tell us a lot of things about living, and it does. And they're important. It may tell you about your money. It may tell you about how to spend it. It may tell you about your family life. It does. I'll show you that. And it'll tell you everything you need to know about living your life. The greatest emphasis of this book tonight, amen, is that Jesus was the sacrifice for your sin. And you can be saved and redeemed. And it's only through the Aleph and the Tav meeting at Calvary's Hill, amen, a sacrifice on a cross for our sin. That is the emphasis of the Word of God. Amen. And the Word of God, amen, shows that in Psalm 119. Amen. He is the alphabet, the Aleph and the Tav and everything in between. Emblems, emphasis, and then we find in the Hebrew alphabet that there is an emulating of God's Word. There's a sense in which every one of these letters teaches you and I something about how we can emulate and put into practice God's Word in our life. Amen. Can I point out two things? Man, I wish I had. We should have started service at 5:30. I could have been letting you out and got all this said. Look on your page. Y'all still got your page there? Let me point something out to you that I've seen. For instance, notice how many of these Hebrew letters are in reference to the human body. Did y'all notice that? Did that stand out to anybody else? No? Well, watch it. Look in number 10, Yod, means hand. Do y'all see that? That's a part of your human body. 16, Ain, means eye. 17, Pei, means mouth. 20 and 21, head and tooth. All of these are parts of your human body. Amen. You know what the Word of God will do? It'll tell you how to use this for the glory of God. Amen. Have you ever thought about God is interested in all of you? And He's interested in you taking your vessel that He gave you the day He gave you life in your mother's womb to spend the days you have in His earth on His creation, and emulating in your life what that book says. Amen. Well, I thought I'd get more amens there. Let me show you one more. I'm done. I need to preach this one for sure. Look at number 2, Beth. Means house. Y'all see that? Watch how many things in this list of 22. There's several that speak of a home or of a home life or of a house. You have Beth, house. Number 4, Daleth, means door. Doors are on houses. Windows. Number 5, hay, are in houses. Number 6, nail Nails are what you use to build houses. Do y'all see that? Amen. Off your house, number eight, Keth, fence. You have fences around your house. Do y'all see that? Amen. All these speak of your home life. You know what that book could show you what to do? You know what that book has in it? It shows you how to emulate God's plan for your home. It has the answers for your home life. I could go on and on there. It blows my mind how there's so many things in this list of things that are connected one to another. Can I tell you, all that Bible is connected to itself. Amen. And we learned that from the alphabet of Psalm 119.